Welcome everyone to the MLB podcast on RJ Bell Screen Preview. I'm your host, Munaf Manji, back in the saddle to get a new week of MLB betting started as we will preview the Monday games for the MLB schedule. 11 games on the schedule. We have lines for all of 11 games. We'll go through each one of those. We'll recap our picks from our last episode, give you guys a promo code as well, and give out obviously our best bets for the Monday card as well. But joining me here to help me break everything down happening on the diamond, it's my main man, Griffin Warner. Griffin, how's it going, my friend? How are you doing this Sunday evening?
I'm doing well. Happy to be with you, Munaf, with all the listeners again. Looking forward to improving and potentially going back-to-back 2-0s on our best bets, as we've pretty much been riding the Broncos so far, either 2-0 or 0-2. But fortunately, more 2-0s, I think, lately than 0-2s, and we're going to keep doing that.
Yeah, coming off of a 2-0 sweep for our picks on Friday, you had the under very, very sharp in the first five innings of the Orioles in the Royals game. I think they scored a whole one run, if I'm not mistaken, in those first five innings. I think after that, they exploded for 13 yep. runs after that. So great call there by you, Griffin. Gets us to the window to get paid. And then I had the over in the Rangers and the Braves game, and that one got us to the window fairly easily as well. So, yeah, glad to be back in the winning circle. Hopefully we can continue that going for the new week of betting starting on Monday with, brand new series kicking off on the schedule. Before we get into the games here, Griffin, I haven't paid quite a lot of attention to the diamond with the NBA playoffs starting and NHL playoffs as well, but anything that's kind of caught your eye before over the weekend or since we last did the episode before we get into the games for Monday?
I think defense has kind of stuck out a little bit, or just that maybe a theme that we kind of ran through last time with the Red Sox having to, Alex Cora having to like teach his team how to play baseball at the major league level. It's been a real problem for the Detroit Tigers. I think I saw a stat, Spencer Torkelson was worth -3 defensive run saves. So he had been actually giving away runs throughout the season and not really hitting either, but is also their like top prospect from a few seasons ago, a number one pick overall. So there's only so much you can do other than keep him out there and keep him playing. Maybe every day it's not the great idea. Maybe give him some time to clear his head. But basically two errors in the same inning cost the Tigers a game. They've had a ton of errors, which for a Detroit Tigers team that I think has a fair amount of hype this year as a potential sleeper or potential playoff team, coming from a bunch of years of mediocrity or worse, if their defense is going to be this bad, they can't really hit very well. So that's two major demerits that might sideline their pitching from a playoff run.
Yeah, and I think we mentioned this, or you mentioned this as well on the last pod, that defense for some of these teams, I think there was a game today where the White Sox doing White Sox things, at least this season, where they had a rundown, but it was Bryce Harper between first and second, try to get the guy at third base running to home plate, just absolutely threw the ball to the back wall, score the run, do the Phillies, and then Bryce Harper gets into second and eventually comes around to score after that for the Phillies. So yeah, I think some of these teams have mightily been struggling on the defensive side of the baseball here. So again, those are those little things, right, that makes the difference, or makes a huge difference between winning and losing in any sport, in baseball in particular as well. So hopefully those teams can get it corrected, because like you mentioned, Tigers were one of my favorite plays on the over on their win total there. I know they started off the season doing pretty well, but again, if you're not going to play a whole heck of a lot of defense and just giving up runs, that's not going to translate to a whole lot of wins in the MLB. But we mentioned a team, and I'll quickly mention this before we get into the Monday card, that the Pirates have been absolutely struggling. I know we had talked about them being one of those teams that come out in April and play really good baseball, but I think over their last eight games, I want to say they are, or sorry, they're over the last 10 games, they're 2-8 over their last 10, and it's just, they've absolutely gone backwards here. They play the Red Sox this weekend. Red Sox took care of business against them. Now they're going to have an NL Central opponent coming in to start this week in the Milwaukee Brewers. And this is a team that has a lot of young talent. And we're supposed to be, I guess, one of the teams, maybe not make the playoffs, but at least in my opinion, improving every single year, right? And then we talk about this NL Central. I feel like it's going to be a little bit more open in the next coming years, and it may be the time for the Pirates, to take that next step up and be competitive in this National League Central Division. But for them to really struggle over the last 10 games, I think that that's something that they definitely need to improve upon as they start this new week, going up against, like I mentioned, the Brewers for this upcoming week.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams I feel like that once the competition ratchets up, like the Pirates seem to look good against teams that are not great. Though, I mean, I feel like the beating the Phillies or kind of handling that series early. As soon as they went to New York, the Mets, who had started to play a lot better, seemed to take care of them. Red Sox don't really seem like much to me, so that's kind of a demerit. Also, with the Orioles coming into Pittsburgh too, I think that was a problematic series for them. It might just be that we see these teams get off to hot starts, and it's just really hard when teams are taking them realistically. And I think you see the magic of small sample sizes where teams can play well or above their level, and then they come quickly back to earth.
Yeah, so again, we'll see some of these. Again, it's still, I feel like it's still, I mean, a little bit early on. We still have, more than 100 plus games to go here. But again, those little things like we mentioned could be the difference between obviously winning and losing. Griffin, let's get into this Monday card here in the MLB 11 game schedule. And we have an early start to get us through the day here, the working day. We've got the Oakland A's. They are in Yankee Stadium to take on the Yankees. 1:05 Eastern start in this game. And the starting pitchers for this game, I'm seeing JP Sears for the Oakland A's, and Carlos Rodon gets a start here for the New York Yankees. Yankees, an overwhelming -238 home favorite, +195 on the money line for the Oakland A's. Total is set at 8 in this game. Run line -1.5, -105 in favor of the Yankees, and +1.5, -115 for the Oakland A's here. Griffin, what are we thinking about this game between the A's and the Yankees to start the day?
Well, it looks like weather is going to be in the low 60s, so not as bad as we've seen in this April month, or I guess we started in March. But I think that's going to be potentially a little problematic for the ball flying out of a Little League park that they play in the Bronx. The nice part, though, is the Yankees used to have J.P. Sears as one of their farmhands. Came up with the Yanks, got traded to Oakland in one of the many deals with Oakland just shedding payroll or players. But he had a really good start, J.P. Sears did, in Arlington against the Rangers just a couple of weeks ago. Might have been his last start even. I'm curious what he's going to be able to do. Big fly ball pitcher, which I just don't think really fits very well in the Bronx. But ultimately, we've seen the Yankees have some pretty big peaks and valleys in their baseball hitting season so far. Really, to me, it seems about how much they're hitting the ball. It seems like Juan Soto's walking a ton, but the big mashers behind him haven't really been mashing. Carlos Rodon on the other side, I don't know what to. I'm still not a believer. This is a gigantic price for him. Oakland is, I think, pretty good and can hold a lead if they have one. But the big question, can J.P. Sears deliver one? I don't think the park sets up very well for him. Kind of a soft tossing lefty. And Carlos Rodon, I just don't think we've seen the slider from him that's been really his wipeout pitch to go with a really high velocity fastball, which we haven't seen either. So give me over 8. I think we see some runs here.
Yeah, I don't think I want to trust Carlos Rodon to be a north of a $2 favorite, even if it is against the Oakland A's, who, like we've talked about, have really exceeded expectations thus far this season. And JP Sears, like you mentioned, coming off of two really good outings, but the walks are a concern for him. He's allowed at least 3 walks in back-to-back starts against the Rangers and the Cardinals. Unfortunately, those teams weren't able to cash in on those walks issued here. But I think what I want to see from this Yankees team is, like you mentioned, right, those heavy hitters behind Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, John Carlos Stanton. Until those guys get going, then it's going to be really look out for this Yankees team. But they've been doing pretty well without those guys, doing some of the heavy lifting thus far this season, which brings me to take, yeah, I think the over 8 with you as well. The Yankees are right around middle of the pack when it comes to against left-handed pitching. Oakland is number 19th when it comes to WRC plus against left-handed pitching as well. But again, like I mentioned, they've been very, very sneaky thus far this season. So I'd lean here with the A's. I mean, just on the value price, right? Close to $2. I think that's there's some value there, but I do agree with the over eight with you between the A's and the Yankees to start the afternoon. 6:40 Eastern start. We've got the Philadelphia Phillies. They are in Cincinnati to take on the Reds. Ranger Suarez gets a start here for the Phillies, and Hunter Green gets a start here for the Cincinnati Reds. Phillies are a -122 road favorite, +102 on the money line for the Reds. Total is set at 9. Run line -1.5, +130 for the Phillies, and +1.5, -155 here for the Cincinnati Reds. Suarez versus Green here, Griffin. What are we thinking?
Yeah, interesting game. I think Ranger Suarez off a complete game shutout against the Rockies or some domination of some sort of metric. Good pitcher at times, can really miss bats, but hasn't really shown strikeouts in his history as a Major League Baseball level pitcher. That's a really tough thing to do in Philadelphia, but he seemed to make it work fairly well. Also should be very hard to do in Cincinnati as well. Really small ballpark there. On the other side, Hunter Green, great, really fast fastball. I don't know that he gets enough swing and misses with it. I feel like a lot of his starts rely on his slider, and that seems to be a little bit of a question to me, though. I feel like just the combination of a guy in a small ballpark that has the ability to miss bats, an underdog at home, getting last at bats, to a pitcher that seemingly has to handle contact a lot. I don't love that match for Philadelphia. So give me those home underdog Red Legs +102.
Yeah, Hunter Green's only had really one bad start this season. It was against the Brewers. Six innings, he allowed 6 earned runs. But other than that, he hasn't allowed more than 2 earned runs in his other 3 starts, which came against the Mariners, the Mets, and the Nationals. I mean, not really murderer's row there. But he also hasn't gotten the run support in 3 out of his 4 starts. Last 3 starts combined, the Reds have only been able to put up 5 combined runs in those 3 starts where Hunter Green has pitched. And like you mentioned, back-to-back fantastic starts thus far this season for the starter for the Phillies here in Ranger Suarez. The Phillies have scored exactly 5 runs in all 4 of his starts. They've won all 4 of his starts, like I mentioned. And I think this might be a spot where I do want to back the Reds here. Quickly, we'll see how they've been doing against left-handed pitching. Cincinnati right now, right at league average, around 15th against left-handed pitching, WRC plus at 102, team batting average against left-handed pitching. They are, let's see, number 18. So, and also OPS, they are right now sitting at 11. So all that's averaging to around the league average for the Cincinnati Reds. So all in here with the Phillies here, -122 on the money line. Getting over to the next game on the schedule, let's go to another 6:40 Eastern start here. And we talked about those Pirates. They will be hosting the Milwaukee Brewers. Joe Ross gets a start here for the Milwaukee Brewers, and Jared Jones gets a start here for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates are a -130 home favorite, +110 on the money line for the Milwaukee Brewers. Total set at 8 in this game here, Griffin. Brewers versus Pirates, Ross versus Jones. What are you thinking?
Man, I'm really tempted to go back to the well, even though Joe Ross did me fairly wrong on my best bet on this episode. I think on Wednesday, Tuesday night's episode into Wednesday last week, Brewers got off to a great start. Literally all I could ask for, scored some runs early, ran some outs, unfortunately, but still had a 3-0 lead. I think that was the curse of our 3-0 leads episode. But yeah. Joe Ross, you know, he's had a good arm for years and years and years, still has it. But it's one of those missing bats things that seem to be a big problem against a fairly mediocre San Diego lineup. Certainly has some names in it, but and probably a better lineup than what Pittsburgh's putting out there. So that gives him a chance. Much bigger park as well, but I'm not really sure. I'm hoping that I can use the park to my advantage. I just want to see swing and miss. And we see that from Jared Jones. He's been awesome to start a season. It seems like he's going to have some sort of innings limit this season. He hasn't really thrown he's thrown a fair amount because for minor leaguers and especially talented ones, But I wonder how deep into games he's going. And I think the Pittsburgh bullpen has some names in it as well. But I feel like they've been a little bit underachieving versus expectations. So a lot, I think, pointing to and also what we talked about earlier with Pittsburgh kind of struggling when the level of competition ratchets up. So given Milwaukee right here, I'll take that +110 on the road underdog. And we might even see this climb a little bit. I wouldn't be shocked if there's a lot of money coming in on Jared Jones's awesome start to the season.
Yeah, he's been a strikeout machine, like you mentioned. Had a really good start against the Mets. Prior to that, had the home run was an issue against the Phillies and the Baltimore Orioles, where he allowed two home runs each in those two games. And the Pirates have lost his last three starts here. I feel like the Pirates are going in the opposite direction right now. And until I see them, steer the ship the right way again, I think Joe Ross has that ability, number one. To get back on track here. I know, like you mentioned, he did you wrong when we had the last pod there, but I think it's a good bounce back spot for him against a struggling Pirates team right now. I'll back Jared. Sorry, I'll back Joe Ross here in the Milwaukee Brewers, getting that plus price right now of +110, 6:50 Eastern start. We got the Detroit Tigers. They are in Tampa to take on the Rays. Tarik Skubal gets a start here for the Detroit Tigers, and Zach Littell gets a start here for the Tampa Bay Rays. Tigers, a -115 road favorite here, -105 on the money line for the Rays. Total is set at 7 in this game here, Griffin. Pretty good pitching matchup here, my friend.
Yeah, Zach Littell, bullpen arm. I feel like I permanently, whenever I see that name, I have good memories of him like bailing me out. I think of an under, or maybe as like coming in, bases loaded, nobody out, and stranding all the runners. And that team, I think it was maybe Detroit coming back and winning way back when. Who knows where it was? Maybe San Francisco. Anyway, he's traveled around a little bit, maybe Cleveland. But I feel like the what we talked about earlier, what I kind of riffed on, was Detroit not really being able to do much besides pitch, which this is their ace, their best starter. But Tarik Skubal, a road favorite, is questionable to me. I think the bullpen in Detroit has a pretty good manager with AJ Hinch managing it. But they seem to be kind of limited in their arm. They have a great closer. Jason Foley's been awesome, but he has real struggles with lefties. Tampa Bay's perfect at platooning. I think they really kind of started that whole thing, started with the bullpen game, started with the platoons. And I feel like they're the best at it still, even though maybe their roster isn't the same level it's been in the past. I think Detroit does not deserve to be a road favorite. So I will take Tampa and hope that I will get something closer to even money. But even -105, I feel like Tampa should be a favorite here. Don't expect a lot of runs. And I think that probably will help Detroit hang in. But as a road favorite, I just can't get on that.
I think a little too much respect here for Tarik Skubal. And again, like, he's having a great season, like you mentioned, right? But he's coming off a start where he did allow two earned runs, four overall, to the Texas Rangers. The Tigers did lose that game 5-4. But prior to that, you take a look at the offense that he faced, right? The Minnesota Twins, the Oakland A's, the Chicago White Sox. And, I've been a fan of what Zach Littell has been able to do thus far this season. Not taking anything away from Tarik Skubal, because you only pitch who's in front of you, and he's performed in those spots. But I think that he may be getting a little too much respect here against the Tampa Bay Rays here. And again, agree with you that I felt like the Rays at least should have been a slight favorite in this game. So us getting a -105 price right now on the Tampa Bay Rays here against the Detroit Tigers, I will take that to the bank any day of the week. Next game on the schedule, we got a 7:20 Eastern start. The Miami Marlins, they are headed to Atlanta to take on the Braves in this game. I'm seeing Ryan Weathers is getting the start here for the Miami Marlins, and it will be Ronaldo Lopez is what I'm seeing for the
Yep.
Atlanta Braves. Braves currently are a -225 home favorite, +185 on the money line for the Miami Marlins here. Total is set at 9 in this game here, Griffin. Marlins and Braves, what are we thinking, my friend?
I think you jump on it fast. It looks like pretty juiced over at the moment across the betting marketplace. And I feel like Ronaldo Lopez has been awesome to start his career. It's kind of one of those project type of arms that couldn't really figure it out what to be in the Chicago organization, White Sox version. Ryan Weathers had a lot of hype on him in San Diego. He's Another one of the Miami reclamation projects that San Diego gave up. Miami tried to grab him. I think he had a good start last time out, but I think he's going to have a lot of trouble trying to pitch to contact against an Atlanta team that doesn't let people do that, in a ballpark that doesn't let you do that either. So I expect a lot of runs. I think Atlanta run line minus 1.5 seems interesting. Maybe some alt lines there. And ultimately, that nine, I love the push on nine right now. So I go over 9 runs in Atlanta, hot Atlanta tomorrow night.
Yeah, right there with you. Just haven't really been a believer in this Marlins team. I mean, they've had pitchers that have, I mean, we talked about Seth earlier this season that they've lost pitchers due to injury. I know they've got Edward Cabrera back, Yuri Perez coming back as well. But, I just feel like they don't have enough offensively and for this Atlanta Braves team. And I think we talked about Ronaldo Lopez in our last episode, thinking that, he was getting too much respect then, but he's, like you mentioned, he's resurrected his career here with the Atlanta Braves on the season 2-0 with a 0.5 ERA, 18 innings pitched. He's only allowed one earned run. And again, coming off of a start against the Astros, I think we had mentioned this, that we'll learn a lot about Lopez after this start. And he absolutely shut out this Astros lineup, allowing only 4 hits, 7 strikeouts in one hit. Sorry, 1 walk in that game. So yeah, you can talk me off of the Braves run line here. Maybe a Braves team total over or full game over in this game here as well. 7:40 Eastern start here, Griffin. We've got the Chicago White Sox. They are in the Twin City to take on the Minnesota Twins. Jonathan Cannon gets a start here for the Chicago White Sox, and Chris Paddock gets a start here for the Minnesota Twins. Twins are a -180 home favorite, +150 on the money line for the Chicago White Sox. Total is set at 8.5 in this game here, Griffin. White Sox and the Twins.
What to do with this one? Don't like the Twins. Feel like the White Sox are the 2023 Oakland A's to me. So not a lot of interest there. Can the White Sox hit Chris Paddock? I think anybody can. Came up to the bigs with a really good changeup, and then apparently that's the worst pitch that he throws. So when you don't have that, I don't really know what you have. So and the White Sox have really big issues with all of their entire roster, but I think their bullpen can qualify for that too. Risk that you only see Minnesota getting 8.5 at bats, but it might be enough if they score 1 run per at bat that they're right around the total here themselves. I feel like over 8.5 is my biggest interest in this one.
Yeah, I don't think I can get behind Chris Paddock being a -180 favorite. Coming off of a start, we got absolutely blasted by the Baltimore Orioles. 5 1/3 inning, he allowed 12 hits, 9 earned runs, 2 home runs. He's allowed at least 1 home run in every single one of his starts, and he's faced some pretty good offenses in his 3 starts. So I'll say that it hasn't been easy for him. He faced the Brewers, the Dodgers, and then the Baltimore Orioles, but fortunately, he actually had pretty good outings against the Dodgers and the Brewers in those 2 starts, and the Twins were able to win both of those games where he did start. And that, again, that ERA right now is obviously inflated because of the 9 earned runs he gave up against the Baltimore Orioles. But again, I still don't feel like I'm very comfortable laying that -180 price, even though it is against the Chicago White Sox. And Jonathan Cannon, coming off of a pretty stellar start against the Kansas City Royals, 5 innings pitched, he allowed 1 earned run, 3 hits, and 3 strikeouts in that game here. So yeah, couldn't talk you off of the over here. Maybe a first five over. I think, these offenses could potentially get to the either one of these starts early on. I think the White Sox, I want to say they got Eloy Jimenez back, who homered in the first inning against the Phillies. So that's only a boost to the offense for the Chicago White Sox. So yeah, definitely could see the over hitting in this game for sure.
Any reinforcements help, I think, at this point.
Yeah, any reinforcements right now for the Chicago White Sox, that is for sure. 7:40 Eastern start here, Griffin. We've got the Toronto Blue Jays. They are in Kansas City to take on the Royals. It'll be Yusei Kikuchi getting the start here for the Toronto Blue Jays, and Brady Singer on the mound here for the Kansas City Royals. -110 on both sides of this game. 8.5 is the total in this game here, Griffin. Kikuchi versus Singer. What are you thinking, my friend?
This is pretty pure of the Major League Baseball market saying you go pick a winner, you go pick a total over or under. Not really any sort of plus signs or like, hey, we want you on this side or anything. I think when you look at breaking down a number, Kansas City probably is about this big of a favorite when their pitcher's slightly better than the Blue Jays, just based on the team discrepancies here. But Kansas City plays at home, so that plays into it. I feel like if the market believed that Kansas City was starting a better pitcher and was a better team, they'd be a bigger price than this. So it's pretty much home field advantage. And I think I'm more interested on the Toronto side. Yusei Kikuchi is, I mean, he's been off to a great start the season, can strike out anybody. There was a little bit of a concern that he was maybe dealing with some shoulder or arm ish discomfort, maybe you'd call it. Had, I think John Schneider, the manager for the Blue Jays, came out twice to check on him in the same inning and made him try to throw some like warm-up pitches just to make sure he was good, which is usually never a good sign. But I guess if he's making the start, maybe things are all right. Maybe it was a cramp, or I don't know how to explain it. But total feels a little bit high considering Kansas City and their like inability to hit home runs there. I'm a little bit cautious of going into KC. The Royals have been playing pretty well, and it's a, not any sort of price right now or plus sign or any sort of incentive for me to take Toronto here, but that's probably the side I want. I'll be looking around for it. But basic numbers or current numbers, I think Kansas City is probably the one I would recommend. But really depends on live movement. And if it stays right here, I'm not re really sure what to touch.
Yeah, I was struggling with this game here as one. And Toronto seems like they found their form here because they've won six out of their last eight games. And I want to say they've won, I want to say four or five straight series, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's four is the number. They went into San Diego, took two out of the three games there before losing on Sunday, 6-3. Joe Musgrove had a really good outing in that game against the Toronto Blue Jays. But I think there's a spot, you know, maybe for the Royals here with Brady Singer on the mound to maybe slow them down here a little bit because he's been absolutely fantastic. To start the season, he's allowed a total of four earned runs and 23 and one thirds innings pitched thus far this season for the Kansas City Royals here. So I'll lean to the Royals side here, -110 on the money line here with the Royals. Griffin, a lot of great things happening right now at pregame.com. Again, NBA playoffs kicked off this weekend, NHL playoffs as well. Obviously, MLB season is in full swing. Spring football. We have the NFL draft coming up this week. So, great time to be a sports fan, but more importantly, a great time to take advantage of what's happening right now on pregame.com.
Yeah, come in, use the promo code FLY20, FLY20. Shoe fly don't bother me, but please bother us. Use that promo code FLY20, good for 20% off for all listeners of this Major League Baseball podcast. Easy for me to say, only for Major League Baseball podcast users. Use that promo code FLY20. But if you're listening to us and you're hearing this promo code, then use it, throw it in there. Every time it gets used, it makes Munaf and I more likely to record a podcast and put it out to the people. So make sure you keep using that. And you save 20% on purchases you are going to make at the pregame.com website anyway. There's some options out there. You can grab Major League Baseball through the World Series, through the All-Star break if you want to try us out before you try before you buy, though I guess you're technically buying anyway. Good for 7 days from the podcast release. You got until April 29th, but don't wait. Baseball is kicking into gear. Might as well get in with those season packages and ride us as long as you can, and maybe even do the full season so you can make sure you try to stick with me and try to beat my 18.3 units from last season, as the goal is at least 20. We'll see if we can do it. But use the promo code FLY20, save 20%, and give us some credit for entertaining you and bringing you some winners as we're off to a great start on the podcast this season.
Yeah, 9-5 so far for our best bets. But again, get over to pregame.com. Make sure you guys use that promo code FLY20. Save you some money there on the website. All right, Griffin, let's get over to the next matchup of the night. We got a 7:45 Eastern start. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they are in St. Louis to take on the Cardinals. Brendan Faught gets a start here for the Arizona Diamondbacks and Lance Lynn on the mound here for the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals slight home favorite here for -112, -108 on the money line for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Total is set at 8.5 in this game here, Griffin. What are your thoughts between Brendan Faught and Lance Lynn?
Lance Lynn, amazed that he's still sticking around, but I guess can't kill a cockroach or something like that. He's really turned his career around and started to be was an awesome pitcher and then kind of lost it last year. I'm not sure I believe he's regained it. I feel like he's on the wrong side of his career. So that generally makes me want to look to the other side. I just don't really know what to do with Brandon Pfaadt at this point. Great strikeout numbers in the minors, got called up, sent down after a really poor beginning to his Major League Baseball career last year. I think same thing happened one more time before he was up for, with the big club end of season and went on the magical run to the World Series. I think I trust, I don't know what I trust actually. I don't think I trust anything here, which makes me want to look at the underdog, though it's not a great number for Arizona right now. And I'm still, I question the Arizona bullpen. Ginkle seems like a great arm, but I feel like whenever I watch him, he's blowing saves or at least getting into jams. And I don't really like seeing that. Paul Sewald's not an answer at closer, I don't think either, unless maybe his arm issues end of last season were explained him kind of falling off a map in Seattle trying to get rid of him with arm things that didn't show up in a medical report, but or physical. I don't. I think I'm looking at the road team here, but I'd like some movement before I get involved.
So Brent Pfaadt faced the St. Louis Cardinals back on Friday, April the 12th at home. Six innings, he allowed six earned runs, seven hits in that game, two home runs, two walks, four strikeouts. The Diamondbacks have lost three straight starts that he has made and given up nine runs to the Braves, nine to the Cardinals. Like I mentioned, also give up five to the Chicago Cubs in those last three starts here. And last Lance Lynn. It's like we're kind of waiting for him to implode here because, I mean, we've seen what Lance Lynn was last season, at least towards the second half of the year after the All-Star break. But he's been pretty good thus far this season. Just had, I guess you could say, one bad start, which was against the Miami Marlins back on April 4th, 4 2/3 innings. He allowed eight hits. Three of those eight hits were home runs that he gave up to the Miami Marlins. But other than that, he's only allowed a combined four earned runs in those other three starts, which are against the A's, the Phillies, and the Dodgers. So, I'll lean with the Cardinals here. I don't like seeing that minus 108 price on Brandon Pfaadt right now. And like you mentioned, maybe if there's more money that comes into or on St. Louis, I may push it to a plus price here. But I'll lean with the home team here, minus 112 on the money line with the Cardinals. 8:40 Eastern start. The San Diego Padres, they are in Colorado to take on the Rockies. Dylan Cease gets a start here for the Padres, and Austin Gomber gets a start here for the Colorado Rockies. Padres are a minus 185 home, sorry, road favorite here, plus 154 on the money line for the Colorado Rockies. Total is set at 10.5 in this game here. Griffin, Dylan Cease goes to Coors Field.
Yeah, big question for a guy that relies on a really good slider. Not as much of a movement plane change in altitude. I feel like that's probably a bigger thing on bigger breaking balls. I feel like Cease's slider is a really tight one, which is part of what makes him so good. It looks like a fastball. He's throwing almost 100 miles an hour and it breaks a little. So enough to fool the best hitters in the baseball world. So that's a question, especially as a big road favorite. Can't imagine he's pitched much in Coors over his career coming from the White Sox. So potentially a lower total also that we're seeing based on his ability, 10 and a half. Though ultimately a lot of the totals in Colorado so far this season have been a lot lower than I would expect, but that's what happens with lower temperatures. Austin Gomber has some good outings in him, but he's a pitch contact guy. Really scary place to do that. Probably the worst place you could ever do that would be the Colorado Rockies organization and how many starts he has at Coors Field. So I think I'll go over 10 and a half here. That seems to be too low at the moment.
I don't know if I can get behind Dylan Cease at this price, even though he's having a pretty good season thus far. The walks are always a concern with Dylan Cease. He's at least two walks in all four of his starts. He did give up five walks in his last start against the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers weren't able to do anything with that. He had six innings, two hits, one earned run allowed in those games, but hasn't allowed more than two earned runs in any of his four starts this season. So we're going to see how he fares going into Coors Field here. I can definitely see runs being put up in this game, especially by the Padres side. So we're going to look at a Padres team total over. Maybe these runs come early within the first five innings. If we look at a Padres team total, first five over as well. Couldn't talk you off of that, but I think that the Padres offense at least should be getting it going here in Coors Field against Austin Gomber. Last game on the schedule here, we have a 9:38 Eastern start. The Baltimore Orioles, they are in Anaheim to take on the Angels. Albert Suarez gets to start here for the Baltimore Orioles, and Reed Detmers gets to start here for the LA Angels. Angels are a -125 home favorite, +105 on the money line for the Baltimore Orioles. Total is set at 8.5 in this game here, Griffin. What are we thinking about the Orioles and the Angels?
So it's pretty much, are you back in a starting pitcher or a team? I think is the question. Plenty of concerns with the Angels, besides Reed Detmers, who's gotten off to a great start this year, delivering on, I think, a fairly high prospect pedigree or reputation before he even got to the big leagues. Threw a no-hitter last year, off to a great start this one. But Baltimore, I'm not really sure how to rate their lineup right now, but it's certainly one of the longer ones in Major League Baseball. That's going to make Detmers work a ton. If he's able to get the best out of his stuff, he can certainly get swing and miss with the best in Major League Baseball, especially as seemingly pitchers are dropping like flies around him. I think I'm more interested though in the team dynamic that Baltimore can hang in there. That I think the Angels lineup's been better than expected. We'll see how long Mike Trout stays in it, but don't have a huge book on Suarez and the Orioles. But I feel like this is kind of the price profile I'd want on what to me is a better team with a better bullpen, deeper, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not sure I believe that Reed Detmers is going to keep this up as long as he does. Certainly not the biggest price on the road underdog, but I lean to Baltimore, and I think I lean to under a low scoring game that I think fits a Baltimore hang in there, hang in there, hang in there, and win it with your bullpen.
Yeah, Reed Detmers, like you mentioned, has been solid this season. He did face his Angels team in his first start back in March of 31st. Five innings pitched, two hits only allowed, one earned run. Did have three walks in that game to seven strikeouts. And, man, he's looked like Cy Young worthy out there, that's for sure. 3-0 thus far this season with a 1.198 ERA. 30 strikeouts, seven walks. Coincidentally, he's faced all AL East teams. He's faced the Rays, he's faced Boston twice, and like I mentioned, he did face the Orioles in his first start this season. And the Angels have actually won all five of his starts, or all four of his starts thus far this season. I've seen improvement in the area for the Baltimore Orioles against left-handed pitching, where they were really struggling against left-handed pitching going back to last season as well. But this season, they're actually climbed themselves into top five types, top six, as far as offensive advanced stats as well. WRC plus, they're number six. If you want to talk about, standard stats, they're number six in team batting average. Slugging percentage, they are number seven. OPS, they are number seven as well. So they've really gotten it going here. I feel like we talked about it with Lance Lynn, that we're kind of waiting for the implosion for Reed Detmers here as well. And maybe this isn't a fluke start for him. Maybe that, this is who they thought Reed Detmers would be for their rotation here. But I'm gonna side with the Orioles here. I think this is a team that you can't count them out for the entire nine innings, because if they do get over to the bullpen of the Angels, I think that's where they, could open up this game. And then, if they are trailing and come back, like you mentioned, and win this game eventually behind their bullpen as well. So I'll lean here with the Baltimore Orioles. Would I be surprised if the Angels won this game? Absolutely not. But at a plus price right now, I'd definitely look at the Baltimore Orioles in this game. Griffin, that was the last game on the 11-game schedule here in the MLB to start the week. Let's get into our best bets here for the Monday card, coming off of a 2-0 sweep in our last episode. So hopefully we can continue that here to start the new week of betting for our listeners here. Why don't you lead us off with your best bet?
Sure, I'd be happy to. 9-5 to start the season off, not too shabby. 64.4%. Going to try to keep that up as long as possible. For my best bet on this episode, I'm going to go with one of those, I think, cheaper priced home teams that we talked about earlier in the show. Hunter Green, Cincinnati Reds, +102 at DraftKings, as we discussed earlier. Like to set up in a small ballpark to miss bats more than the road favorite that's entering into the Great American Small Park. I feel like Philadelphia hasn't really delivered on high expectations so far this season. And a lot of these teams are going to lose a bunch of games this year as a road favorite in a not so great ballpark for a pitching matchup. I'll take the candy on the home teams. Give me the Reds plus 102 for my best bet on this episode.
There we go. Love it. All right. For my best bet, I'm going to go with the Braves on the run line. I'm definitely not a believer in this Miami Marlins team. Atlanta continues to be one of the better offenses, if not the best offenses in the entire MLB. I know you don't get all nine at bats with this team, but I mean, this is a team that can put up five, six runs within a blink of an eye, and they're going up against a Miami Marlins team again. Ryan Weathers, we talked about it, right? He's been really good thus far this season for this Marlins pitching rotation. But I think it's going to come to a point where you're facing one of these better offenses like the Atlanta Braves, where, it's going to catch up to him. And I think, with Ronaldo Lopez here, I don't think it's a fluke of the start that he's had. He's really resurrected his career with the Atlanta Braves. And also, he has that offense to back him. And I think that, if he maybe makes a couple of mistakes here early on, but he still has his offense, behind him that can really, give him that support as well. So I'll fade this Marlins team, especially on the road here. I'll take the Atlanta Braves minus 1.5, minus 115 currently on the run line over at FanDuel. So hopefully, Griffin, we can make it back-to-back sweeps here to
Let's do it.
continue our great start to the MLB season. Griffin, anything else you want to mention to our listeners before we go our separate ways?
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Of course, the support means a lot. All the listeners, tell your friends, leave 5-star reviews across the various platforms. Follow us on Twitter at the real underscore G Warner at SportsNerd824. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Yeah, go jump on there and make sure you use that promo code FLY20, save 20%. And the more you use that code, the more shows we do.
Yes, sir. Definitely do. Make sure you guys use our promo code FLY20 over at pregame.com. So hopefully we can get this new week of betting started on the right foot here. We'll talk to you guys later this week. The usual schedule for this week. So we'll do a Wednesday, the Thursday pod for the Friday game. So look out for us then. Till then, good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off, and we'll talk to you guys down the road.